Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Yes, sir. Although I got to tell you, I'm in the mood for chips. Now
that's how you start a show.
Chips and flowers, baby. Right. Chips and flowers.
Yeah.
And Janis Joplin and Mamas and the Papas. And
yeah. Champion chips.
Oh, God.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God. Ready to roll on this Friday. I am in for Reggie, but the rest of the gang still here nonetheless. John Lopez and Figgy Fig, who, by the way, Figgy, the first time I met you, I thought you'd be taller, too.
Oh, man. Yeah. That's the fourth time I heard that this week.
Yeah, that's known as a callback.
Salute to my cleaning lady.
It's a compliment. Well, it's like a backhanded compliment.
It is a backhanded compliment.
It's like when people say you outkicked your coverage.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
They're kind of putting you down. Anyways, we're here for the next 4 hours. You can join the conversation by calling or texting 713-572-4610.
Yes. Zero.
Yeah, that's right. Zero.
It's okay to use it phone numbers. It's when you say scores. People are like, they're winning 14-0.
But no, it's a number. That means 14. It's zero.
572-4610.
There was always a thing in broadcasting. They said you could, if a team had zero, don't say, or if it's a 0-0 game, you're not supposed to say no score because that is the score. You know, like we go to the third inning, score in this game.
Yeah.
No, 0-0 is the score. So that's,
I like that.
Yeah, people, when they nitpick broadcasters, they always point that out.
Mm-hmm.
You can also get in touch with us on the YouTube and Twitch streams. Actually, that's a perfect segue, unintentionally, into last night's Astros game because, well, the Astros scored zero. They lost, in case you're just turning on the radio, Astros lost to the Rangers last night 1-0 to open that series in a great pitcher's duel. And I think there's a few things, few directions we can go with just that one game last night or what we've seen from the Astros recently.
Mm-hmm.
But I do want to start with this. Could I make the case, and feel free to tell me if I'm wrong, I don't think it happens in other sports, but since baseball is so long, you can get it in baseball where even though the Astros lost on the scoreboard last night, I still came away, I know it's to the Rangers, I know they got shut out, I came away last night feeling like that was still a win because to me, that was the earning the stripes moment for Hunter Brown, where he has solidified himself now as that true ace, the bulldog that you want to have the ball in the elimination game and the big series in September, whatever it is. And he has graduated now. Last night, I think, was like that last step where he's graduated to that guy now that you feel comfortable with the ace on the staff.
Well, I think that's fair because there's so many good, like every loss is bad, but some are not as bad as others, you know, and that was one. Goes 8 innings. I've been saying for a couple of weeks now, I mean, he's the ace. He's the guy. But you're right. I mean, sort of solidifying that whole thing. As much as I agree with that, I also feel there's last night was sort of a, kind of like you could have with just a few things going different. You could. Jacob DeGrom was just unreal as well. But my thing on your point, I just acknowledge that Hunter Brown is going to go 6, 7, 8 innings every time out. He's that guy. He's becoming, like back in the day, whenever, let's just pick a good, Verlander was starting. You bought tickets to watch Verlander. You are buying tickets to watch Hunter Brown now. I know I am. I mean that's what he is, and that's what you're talking about. However, the one thing that I kind of sort of analyzing the game, Yordan would have made a huge difference in that game. Just having him in the lineup. Just having him in the lineup would have made an enormous difference. They didn't have a left-handed bat against Jacob deGrom.
Yeah.
Even just and how about the late innings in a 1-0 game? Presuming everything else goes as it did, and then Yordan steps up in the 7th or 8th inning, that changes the whole dynamic. So Yordan, as much as they're saying, well, any day now or, whatever, he's getting close, I think is the line that they use.
Yeah.
That would have been, if he had come off when he was supposed to come off on the 13th and been in that game, I think it changes everything.
I'm with you 100%. Even end of, you make it so much easier on the opposing manager when it's just all righties.
Yeah.
And then he looks at his bullpen and he's like, okay, which reliever should we go to? Well, pick one of our righties because all they have are righties. And the last time I was in with you was right before opening day, and we were talking about what the opening day roster would look like. And I mentioned it at the time that I don't get this roster construction where even with a healthy there's all righties. We have no lefties in this lineup. So you make it a lot easier for a guy like DeGrom last night, who, when you look at the splits, like most pitchers, is obviously a lot better against righties than lefties. But because of that, and a few, that was such a frustrating game, even though you feel great about the pitching performance. Mm-hmm. You lose 1-0. It's a classic pitcher's duel. But if you look at some of those advanced metrics, the Astros had like 9 of the 13 hardest hit balls last night. There were so many close calls, and they just couldn't get one of those hits to fall in, or couldn't get a clutch 2-out hit to get to scratch across a run.
But that's what they've been, and that leads to my other point. Again, sort of just like looking at that particular game. Yordan, I was like, man, had he been healthy? Now, I know you can't put him out there if he's not healthy, but they've been sort of pulling our string here on, he's getting close and all that. That's number one. Number two, and I don't know how you feel about this, I think there are certain games and certain teams, really, if you want to extend it to how the Astros are hitting over the course of the season, you got to switch who you are and play a little more small ball.
Mm-hmm.
Like last night had small ball written all over it. Like just scratch out a hit, lean into a pitch, for God's sake, something, and just create some kind of traffic, bunt, sacrifice, hit and run. We all know all the details of small ball because you're nothing but right-handed hitters. If you square around or if you do something like that, you create some pressure on DeGrom. Maybe they start thinking differently in terms of how how long they're going to use him. So I think it was a small, they should have gone more small ball yesterday.
I agree. Yeah, I agree with that point too. I am old school in the sense of I like that. I wish there were more bunts in baseball nowadays. I know they've tried to bring back the steal and they have done so. I wish there were more hit and runs. And when you are facing someone like DeGrom, it's going to be tough to scratch across any runs. And as we saw last night, it might only take a run or two to win the game.
Yeah.
So you got to do whatever you can to try to get that run, and then also put pressure on
that's
Jacob
what I'm
DeGrom.
Talking about. Yeah. Just create that traffic, make him get into the stretch, make him, and he gave up, 7 hits, I think, DeGrom did, but they were all
just kind of scattered around. Singles.
But all of a sudden, you were making some contact, little hit-and-run action or whatever. And then the other reason is the Astros, they've been hot lately, relatively, compared to the rest of the season, but they still rank 26th in the entire MLB in extra base percentage. You mentioned it. They weren't getting the extra base hits, so you've got to do something a little different. That was one that got away, and you got a tip cap, obviously. There's a term. I like that one too. To both pitchers, but it was one that felt like you could have easily had.
For sure, which made it frustrating. And my other concern with the lineup, and we kind of saw it last night, is, look, Jake Meyers is having a really good season. I don't know. Do you trust Jake at this point? He was up with 2 on, 2 out. I think it was the 3rd inning, and he struck out on 3 pitches and went down looking at a fastball that had a lot of plate coverage.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just like, oh, okay, like he's having a good year, but still, bottom of the 9th, is Jake Meyers still the guy you want to come up to the plate? I referenced this in the notes, and we discussed it a little bit, but like Jeremy Payne is having a great year, no doubt. But if you go back to this point last year, he had almost identical numbers, and then we know how he finished the season. So is he a guy that you – that's still my question with this lineup, especially with Yordan out and Altuve struggling right now, is maybe I just haven't seen enough to believe in it, but I still have trouble feeling like Pena, Jake Meyers, these are the guys that can carry this lineup right now.
No, I we've talked about that here and there, and the thought did cross my mind last night as well. But I feel Jake Meyers has done enough. How many games are we into the season now? 40?
About 45?
Yeah, something like that. He's done, and we brought it up yesterday, maybe he's just having one of those years. The thought crossed my mind, but given where they are, the lack of extra base hits, how hot he's been, I really didn't have a problem with him staying in. And by the way, Lance McCullers against Nathan Eovaldi.
Yeah.
Today, that's going to be interesting to see how he responds.
It sure is. Because I think, I mean, Nathan Eovaldi, I know he's on the Rangers. We shouldn't say anything good about Ranger players, but I'm a big Nathan Eovaldi fan. He's had Tommy John surgery like three times, and he keeps coming back better. The dude is rocks. He's been great in the playoffs. I think he can hold up his end of the bargain for another pitcher's duel tonight. Mm-hmm. I don't know if we're going to get it from the Astros side. I'm very concerned about Lance McCullers and tonight. What should be reasonable expectations? I feel like each start's gotten tougher for him, right? You start with the White Sox, mm-hmm. then you go to the Reds. Now you go to the Rangers on the road. What should be reasonable expect? Like, what do you expect to see from McCullers, or what do you hope to see from him tonight?
Well, just to be honest, I don't know what to expect.
Yeah.
I have no idea what to expect with Lance McCullers. I don't want him to go more than five innings. So good thing Hunter Brown went, you know, pretty deep yesterday, because after, you know, he's still just coming back, struggled, obviously, as we know, mightily at home, but was okay in his first start. So I just want, just give me five innings. You know, it's kind of like we talked about with the rookie that came up the other day. But anyway, just give me four innings. This is what I was telling. He gave you four. I just want five out of McCullers and just keep it close. Two runs, six hits. I'll take that from McCullers.
Say he struggles again tonight. Maybe not quite the disaster that was the Cincinnati start, but I don't know. Say he goes three innings, allows five runs, something like that, four runs.
Yeah.
Where are you with the McCullers, like the leash on him? How many starts should the Astros afford to him before you realize, like, you know what? He's been out 3 years. Just maybe this is the end of the rope. It's not going to work anymore.
I don't know if we're there, but I think you start having conversations about, you know, what should we do with him?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got the 6-man rotation. You have other, possibilities. I know you're not a big fan of the 6-man rotation.
Hate it.
Sometimes I think it commands in today's baseball world. I mean, it's not old school anymore. It commands to having more than five, but I think you got options, and certainly it would be problematic because of all these things that are happening and pitchers going down, you know, Arrigetti. Shout out to Hayden Wesneski, by the way. Thoughts and prayers. We'll get to that. that was quite the bombshell last night during the broadcast. Pitchers hurt. You really need someone, and you need someone like Lance McCullers, who has that veteran experience, to step up.
Yeah, I've ranted about this on Area 45 already, about the 6-man rotation. I get it if it's just for the 17-game stretch.
Mm-hmm.
But after watching, again, Hunter Brown just was excellent last night, and we're taking starts away from him instead to make spots for Lance McCullers right mm-hmm. now. And not only that, but, you know, like you mentioned, Colton Gordon. Like, we're creating spots in the rotation for these guys where I don't think they're deserving of a spot.
Mm-hmm.
And in turn, taking away a few starts from Hunter Brown, where that's the type of guy, and like you referenced, baseball's different nowadays. Mm-hmm. I am old school, but I want Hunter Brown on the mound as often as possible, every five games. Give that guy the baseball, because you should win those starts.
No, I'm with you in theory. I just know, I guess I'm just sort of accepting of what they do now.
Yeah.
But I'm with you in theory. And by the way, Hunter Brown isn't a baby anymore. He can handle it. You know, he's a big boy. You know, I'm sure he wants it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure he wants to go out there every fifth day. And the other thing that might be a factor here, in case they're thinking about maybe, you know, tapering back that 6-man rotation, Fromber's been pretty good the last couple of outings too.
Yeah.
So you got two guys there that maybe you want to give the ball to rather than an uncertain Lance McCullers or whomever it might be.
Right, if you had six quality starters, I get it. Let's do it.
Yeah.
But right now you're creating spots for a rookie call-up and for Lance McCullers, which, you know, that it's a discussion that has passed, but I always said he was better served in the bullpen than being mm-hmm. a starter. That ship has sailed. On the text line, Ocho says, that loss last night really feels like two because McCullers pitches tonight against Eovaldi. That's a fair point.
Well, see, that's the point that I was trying to make. He put it better than I did. You know, you have to have five innings. You have to have McCullers. Because if it blows up, then all of a sudden saving the bullpen is almost useless. You know, if he gives up five runs, it's to your point, if he gives up five runs in three innings, well, then what the hell did we save the bullpen for last night? Because we're going to be down more than likely, you know?
In regards to McCullers, Ochoa also said, And I thought this was about me at first. Luke, I expect what he always gives us, a laborious, annoying nitpicking. I thought, oh boy, this guy's not a fan of me. And then he says 3 innings on 90 pitches. And I realized, oh, okay, so he's talking about McCullers. Yeah. So expectations are low.
Mm-hmm.
In regards to that performance last night, I know Sean had this morning. I saw it as well. But since pitchers were first tracked in 1988, last night's game is the only Major League Baseball game where both starters went at least 8 innings, allowed no more than 1 run, struck out at least 7 batters, and threw fewer than 100 pitches.
Mm-hmm.
I'm an old school guy. I assume you're an old school baseball guy.
I put that right at the top of my notes.
Do you like
Love it.
An old-fashioned pitcher's duel like that?
See, I think pitcher's duels are created differently. Sometimes it's 0-0, and it's kind of like several different pitchers and a lot of hard-hit balls and a lot of hard contact, and it's just good defense or whatever, you know, missed opportunities. That's not a pitcher's duel to me. Last night was a pitcher's duel. Last night was, I mean, filth. There's another term. How do you feel about
that? I like that.
I like filth. I like
that's a good term.
That pitch was filthy.
Last night was filthy on both sides.
Actually, I really like that term. After you said it like that, Fig.
Yeah.
When you call a pitch filthy, that's a nice phrase. Put that on the good side. To put a bow on all this, I thought back to, like, I grew up in the Northeast. There's a famous game from 2000 in the month of May as well. It was Sunday Night Baseball. It was Roger Clemens against Pedro Martinez, Yankees Red Sox. And the Red Sox won 2-0 on a 9th-inning home run from Trot Nixon, similar to, I know it wasn't the 9th-inning, but similar to the Rangers last night. But why I compare it is because it was the first time Pedro faced Clemens. And Clemens was 37 years old, just like DeGrom is 37 years old. And Pedro already had a Cy Young, but he was 28, so he was just 2 years older than Hunter Brown. Mm-hmm. And that was like a changing of the guard where Pedro out-dueled Clemens. The Red Sox win, and you think like, okay, Clemens is obviously an all-time great. Pedro was the guy to mess with. And when I watched that game last night, even though he lost, I thought Hunter Brown out-dueled DeGrom, and I thought DeGrom has the great career, no doubt.
Mm-hmm.
Probably a Hall of Famer. Yeah, I would say Hall of Famer. You know, injuries have played in. But now, Hunter Brown, first time facing DeGrom, he puts that performance together last night. I'm not going to call him Pedro Martinez, but just that feeling of, okay, like, here's the new star. Yeah, here's the new star pitcher.
Yeah, he absolutely is.
It's just too bad they couldn't get him any run support last night. We'll talk more about the Astros as we go, but when we come back, is the AFC South being slept on? Could the AFC South this year actually be like the NFC North last year? Might sound ridiculous, but I'll explain it when we come back. It's In the Loop. I'm Luke.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
we've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Tomorrow in for Reggie today alongside John Lopez and Figgy Fig. Hey, is the AFC South being slept on? Could it be more like the NFC North from last year? Get to that in a moment. I do feel I'm filling in for Reggie. It's always a pleasure to be here. I do feel a little bit like him after hearing that intro because the text line, that phone number used to be pasted up here in the studio. It's not anymore. So I had to write it down in an old piece of mail I found in my bag just so I remember.
What's the mail? I'm just kidding.
It's a HelloFresh coupon.
Oh, I got to tell y'all something.
I like HelloFresh.
Yeah,
I like HelloFresh. Just real quick, we were talking about, I forget what the question was of the day was when we were talking about the IRS. Seth was bringing up the IRS. I forget what it was. Like,
Stuff that scare you.
Yeah, the stuff that scares you.
Kinda, simple things that kind of scare you.
Just as sure as you could imagine, I opened the mailbox yesterday. I have a letter from the IRS. That's what we all both said. And she had a letter to the IRS.
Oh, man.
We each got a letter from the IRS. And I'm like, that damn Seth. Because I said I've never been audited ever in my life.
They must be looking at Instagram. You making too much money off that OG sauce.
Yeah, that's right.
You ain't paying no taxes, buddy.
Actually, I am. For the record, people who work for the IRS, you have my forms. Anyway. So I was like, oh, crap. And to the point where, like, we didn't even want to open it. We were staring at it for a while. You know, you get those letters, and you're just like, oh, this is it. So I opened mine, which I'm sure, you know, which ended up being, of course, the same in hers. They miscalculated the something in our tax return. So we actually got a $255 break of what we paid.
Nice.
Yeah, okay. So we got a credit.
Good news.
Holy crap.
Okay, that's a good one right there.
That was close. I was like, that damn Seth. We're talking about not getting audited, and I get audited. But no, I actually got $255.
There you go.
Hey, you just don't get like bright spots when the IRS send you a letter.
Has that ever happened? They go, hey, man, our bad.
No, right. Our bad. People don't give things back. That's nice. That's nice. You open that up. That's a nice present.
Mm-hmm.
Go out for a nice meal at the Sizzler with that.
At least one.
Yeah.
At least one.
On the text line, by the way, that number is 713-572-4610. I've lost these text messages now, so I'm going to paraphrase. Sorry, I'm not shouting out your number. One person said, give McCullers a month before we start having those conversations, 5 to 6 starts. That's fair. And then another text I see here from the 954 said, how long are we going to put Walker in the fourth slot? Put Cam Smith in right field, Zach DeZenzo to first base, and bench Christian Walker. I don't think, just like McCullers, I don't think you're benching Christian Walker yet after giving him the contract you did in the offseason, and also because of the back of his baseball card.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you went there because that's what was said about Abreu, and famously by Jeff Bagwell, and we were giving him a hard time. It might happen, but remember what happened with Abreu. They stayed and stayed and stayed and stayed until they even sent him to Florida once. Remember that?
It was 2 years with him, right?
Yeah.
So we went through this for 2 years with him.
Yeah, it might happen, but it isn't going to happen yet.
No, it's too early into that contract, but yeah, maybe eventually. All right, I teased this. Could the AFC South this year be like the NFC North last year, which was a surprise division, put 3 teams in the playoffs? That probably sounds crazy if you're a Texans fan, but I'll lay out my case in a moment. First, I would just, to tee it up, I would ask, how do you feel about this division? Do you feel comfortable in the Texans, you know, the expectations that the Texans should comfortably win the division this year?
I do want to get to your point because I thought it was an interesting one, and I actually wrote down a couple of, like, sort of devil's advocate type things of, okay, how would we state the case that the division could be good? But to answer your question, I think the division is the Texans. It's going to absolutely be the Texans, start to finish. I could see, I think we did our game-by-game pick'em yesterday with B. Scott, and I had him winning, I think, all but one or either all of their division games this year.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
They're going to win the division. But state your case, because I did write down a couple of notes on, like, well, what if this division is good?
Yeah, and that's where I'm at, too, because I'm with you. This is the Texans division, but I can be a bit neurotic. So I was looking at the schedule breakdown after the schedules came out the other night, and it got me a little worried, because the reason why I compare it to the NFC North last year is the Vikings, the Bears, the Packers, even the Lions, all overachieved last year. They exceeded expectations. And when you go back and you look, all of those teams played top nine easiest schedules last year. Mm-hmm. Now, part of that schedule was playing the AFC South, but the Packers, Lions, Vikings, they had three of the best records in the NFC, and they got to beat up on some weaker competition. Okay, how does that relate to the AFC South? Well, if you look at the schedules this year, everybody except the Texans in that division, the Titans, the Colts, the Jaguars, have top nine easiest schedules this year. And you might think, well, these teams aren't very good. They might win a few more games, but not enough with these schedules because they're not good enough. Fair. But if you go back and look, the Vikings last year, their win total was 6.5. They ended up winning 14 games and made the playoffs. It's been five straight years that a team with a win total under 7 to start the year ended up making the playoffs. Could that be the Colts or the Jaguars this year with these easier schedules? Could this division actually be better than a lot of people think just simply because the easier schedules?
I that's one of the things I put down, easier schedules. But I think what really complicates things for and you can't argue with ninth easiest. I mean, that's analytics, that's data, that's statistics, that just based on last season. But when you eyeball this thing, you know how the NFL schedule works. If you don't, you're designated two divisions that you play, and then you're the first place team against other teams, we'll face a couple of, better teams. The last place team will face easier teams. So the designated divisions are tough. Like, the designated divisions are the NFC North this year. It's the AFC West. Because they play the Chiefs and the Chargers and the Broncos and the Raiders. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty tough. But your point is solid. Where I went with it is kind of the speculation or projection of quarterbacks in this division.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it comes down to the quarterback. If Anthony Richardson figures something out, that could be a fly in the ointment. Trevor Lawrence, that could be a fly in the ointment. Daniel Jones, or whatever. If Cam Ward is a number one overall pick that looks the part, that's where I would maybe say, if I had to make a case, that maybe they could make some noise this year.
We see every year a first-year head coach makes the playoff. I forget how many years that streak's at. I think it might be like 10 straight years. And obviously we know it well with D'Amico Ryans did it here at the Texans 2 years ago. So I look to the Jaguars where maybe this is finally the right fit. I know this is like the fourth head coach they've brought in for Trevor Lawrence. I don't know. Maybe this one finally works. We always see these first-year head coaches catch the leagues by surprise. We saw the Colts 2 years ago almost made the playoffs with Gardner Minshew. Mm-hmm. Maybe Daniel Jones can be to that level. And the Jaguars, by the way, also have the second easiest schedule for the final 7 weeks of the season. Mm-hmm. So even if they're playing like 500 football, there might be some winnable games to make a run down the stretch of the season. No one was seeing the Vikings winning 14 games last year. I don't think the Lions were even expected to win 15, right? The Packers winning, 12 games last year. I think those were all surprises. This would obviously qualify as surprises as well, but I just worry that the gap, I felt like, has already shrunk a little bit this offseason, mm-hmm. and then you look at, they all have easier schedules than the Texans. They might have more winnable games that will further shrink the gap in this division.
No, and you mentioned the back end of the schedule. When you have easier teams at the back end, you're a little more beat up. You maybe know exactly where you are. You've established yourself one way or another. You kind of gain, you know, a sense of momentum, you know, over the course of the back end of the year. The other thing that might come into play here, we know that what the Texans' defense is going to be. There are good defenses in this division. There are flat-out good defenses mm-hmm. in this division. And so you steal a game here or there, all of a sudden, you know, things get interesting as well. So I don't think so. I think it's going to be a Texans, you know, wire-to-wire, so to speak. But you could, those would be the two ways I would argue it.
Which team, I'm sure you guys have talked about this, but since I'm just hanging out with you today, which team would you be most concerned? It might not be a big concern, as we mm-hmm. both agree. I do think this is the Texans division. I don't want to sound the alarms here. I think the Texans do win this division and pretty sweat-free, I would like to hope. But which team in this division do you feel like does have the highest upside this year outside of the Texans?
Man, that's part of the reason I think, you know, there are some big questions. But yeah. I don't have a lot of faith in Liam Cohen and the Jaguars, but they do have Trevor Lawrence. We'll see if anything gets unlocked there. I don't have a lot of faith in either Anthony Richardson or Daniel Jones. So there's that. That kind of leaves it down to the Titans, who have a pretty good defensive front. You know, obviously have added a couple of things on the offensive line, which could maybe help Cam Ward, I guess. I mean, would you say the Titans might be the scariest team in the division?
This year?
Yeah.
I don't know about this year. I think you could kind of see.
Jaguars?
To me, I'm worried that mm-hmm. somebody going to lock Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah.
And they got some pieces there. Travis Hunter, they got other pieces there too.
Yeah.
Where it'd be like, man, they clicking now.
I get it. What about you?
I think the Jaguars, yeah. I think so. You add Travis Hunter. Hopefully the new coach gets something out of Trevor Lawrence. And look, they were, 8-3?
Yeah.
Was that 2 years ago now? Before Trevor Lawrence got injured, they did make the playoffs that 1 year with Doug Peterson. So I think there's still some upside there. I think it was Bleacher Report predict them to win 10 games this year.
That's the one. I was trying to remember who it was. I saw it in passing. Yeah. I was like, 10-7?
Yeah. They have one of the easiest schedules in the league. So things just might line. I don't know if they're a great team, but things might line up where they can have some success this year.
Yeah.
We'll see. We got a long way to go. Hey, it's time for the question of the day. And we've already had a lot of these roll in on the text line. Send yours as well. 713-572-4610. The question being, what are your favorite or least favorite unique sports terms? Let us know. We'll get to them next in the loop. Luke Morrow in for Reggie today alongside John Lopez and Figgy Fig. What are your favorite or least favorite unique sports terms? It's the question of the day. Text them in 713-572-4610. The Haymakers are already flying in with all of these.
Spoiler alert, it's going to be mostly that you don't like.
Of course, always is.
Fresh four.
Oh, God. All right, let me get that out of the way here, before Luke, sorry. Just to reset how this came about, PGA Championship, for all my golf friends out there, they're having a big controversy about what they're calling mud balls, which is a common term. Your ball gets plugged into the fairway, not in the rough, but in the fairway because it's wet. They usually let you pick up the ball, clean it, and set it on some good grass. They're not letting them do that, so Scottie Scheffler went off yesterday. I almost put the audio in here, but it was too long. He went off on it yesterday. And then I'm watching the Astros game, and this is where I thought of the question of the day. And Yonner Diaz got three sliders in a row, nasty, from Jacob DeGrom.
Filthy.
And I turned to my wife and I said, well, gave him the old White Castle special. Three sliders in a row. She looked at me like I had two heads. But you said you never heard of that either.
No, I haven't. I like it.
Yeah. But
I
you might be the only one to use
no,
it.
No. I got some feedback. It's been out there. It's kind of, it's maybe a little dated. But anyway, sports terms like that you like or dislike. And I'm sitting next to a really, really good play-by-play guy, experienced. And I told him off air, my life's mission at this point, one of them, is to get him a play-by-play job because he deserves it. That's Luke Morrow.
Appreciate
what
it.
Are the ones that you've heard so far? Things like painted the black,
yeah,
can of corn that you've used.
Yeah, I'm guilty. I think of a lot of these. Really. Somebody said golden sombrero. I always like that one.
I don't mind that one,
and I use it.
And the platinum.
No.
That's four strikeouts.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I didn't have that on my bingo card, somebody said on the text line.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one. Yeah.
But that's as much sport, daily life as sports, too.
It's really true.
Yeah. The one that kind of bothered me now, and back in the day, I was alive and remember when it happened.
Yeah.
Remember when Rasheed Wallace was talking smack?
Yeah, I like that one still.
And then he said, ball don't lie.
I still like that.
He got missed the free throw. He said,
you don't
ball
use
don't,
it anymore?
I don't like it no more, man.
People don't use it. Too.
Yeah, ball don't lie.
Yeah.
I don't like
shark,
it no more. Yeah.
Come too mainstream.
Yeah.
The soccer one that I do like, and some people hate, you know what a nutmeg is?
Yeah, yeah, I like that one.
I like nutmeg. Yeah. When you kick the ball between someone's legs, you nutmeg them. Yeah, I like that one.
It's not necessarily a sports one, but I always love when you say, like, giving him the business, or they gave him the business.
Giving him the business? Who was the referee?
Yeah, there was the one ref.
Like, oh, yeah.
Then he called the penalty.
Giving him the business.
Yeah.
Oh, and I didn't mention the Vandermeer thing. And he knows this. He's one of my best friends, but I flat out told him when he goes, and it's a fresh four. I'm like, yeah, we don't necessarily need to say that, do we? He didn't like that when I brought it up with him. But,
yeah, one I don't mind. We got into this a little bit, the crosstalk earlier, sponsored by D&M Auto Leasing, with because Sean was so adamant he hates Chip. Mm-hmm. I'm similar with the abbreviations. I mentioned Tutty for touchdown. I can't stand.
That's become a good one.
Too popular. Yeah. And then somewhat different, I don't like in basketball when people call assists helpers. I don't know why, but when they say he had nine helpers last night, I hate that.
How you feel about like being a broadcaster being a home broadcaster and somebody say, oh, the good guy's up?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Like, say, just say the Rockets are up by four.
The good guys are up.
The good guys by four.
Giving him his flowers.
Yeah.
What are we doing? And CJ uses that a lot. Yeah, I'd give him his flowers on that.
Yeah. I kind of like that.
You don't mind it?
Yeah, kind of like it.
How do we feel about pancake? Like when you pancake block someone.
Indifferent. I don't have an issue
with that. I don't feel no type of way about it.
But we're getting a lot coming in. Twin killing.
I like twin killing.
I don't mind that one.
I use that plenty.
Yeah.
There was one I did get rid of because it became too cliche, but when it's a 2-2 count in baseball with two outs and sometimes a runner at second, people always say deuces are wild.
Oh, yeah.
And I used to use that one, and then I heard everyone saying, I'm like, this is annoying. So I don't like that anymore.
I'm with the 713 on this one. I think downhill is way overused. They use it in basketball.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I get the downhill runner, you know, the guy that goes hard and straight and, you know, doesn't mess around, doesn't put a lot of it. I get that one. But people use downhill like in every sport now. I'm like, no, that's overused for sure.
Along those lines, I think my father really doesn't like physicality, which has become a big buzzword in recent years.
Yeah.
That's one he doesn't like. And I kind of agree. There's certain buzzwords that become too overused.
Now, I think that's the big thing right there.
What about control your own destiny?
I don't mind it.
I like it.
I don't mind it. But that's another one that's been used way too much. Way too much. But giving him his flowers, all these other ones that people are way overusing.
What about the laundry on the field?
Oh, thank you.
Whenever it's a flag, the referee throw a flag, you got laundry on the field.
Do you use that?
Yeah. I don't mind that one.
Got a little laundry on the field. How about dinger?
Not the biggest fan. I don't think I've ever said that.
Yeah.
I do like hat trick 409. I don't mind that one at all.
Hat trick is cool.
Yeah.
I feel like that's the word to you. People don't say three goal. They say hat trick.
You got the hat trick. Yeah, I don't mind that one at all. But yeah, no. So there are some that you like, some that you don't like. As they're coming in, I don't think play by play guys use this one. 832. We want a pitcher, not a belly itcher.
Oh, yeah.
This one I like. I mean, we don't use this, and we kind of use this in street ball, mm-hmm. but I like the term double dribble. Mm-hmm. Instead of just travel, some people say travel.
Well, double dribbles the dribble.
Yeah,
the dribble
yeah, part. Like picking the ball up twice.
Yeah.
We used to say double.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
that instead of saying travel or carry,
uh-huh.
say that double. Yeah.
Somebody said for baseball when you talk about the count, nothing and one, they can't stand. It should be 0-1.
Yeah, 0-1 is probably
nothing
better.
Nothing and one. Yep.
But you had a good point. And like the score is 0-0.
Yeah, that's old school broadcasters always nitpick that. You can't say like no scores. We head to the third when it's 0-0 because that mm-hmm. is the score. So you should say it's 0-0.
There is a score. Yeah. Is that he's got receipts? Oh, thank you. Oh, well, how did I not forget? Remember this one? Trust the process.
It's become a real
trust
cliche.
Being sorry. Just. Trust being bad.
And a lot of people are saying they don't like when players yell, let's go. That's overused.
It is.
Yeah.
Way overused. Everybody says, let's go. The other one was he could go all the way. Okay, whatever. I don't mind that one at all. Let's go.
I don't know if this is sport. This is probably not sports related, and I could get in trouble for this because our boss uses it a lot. But LFG, when people say LFG.
Oh, I think that's very sports. I think
really?
That, yeah,
okay.
I think
because I hate when people important. Like I hate when people just use the letters LFG.
Mm-hmm.
I was just like, man, that's.
I would say that for all like abbreviations. People say BRB in real life.
Oh God, that drives me nuts.
FYI,
and don't text me BRB.
Yeah,
just get back to me.
When you speak it, it's even worse.
And yeah.
And I don't mind if the word or term or whatever the hell it is, tutty. Is ever used again.
Yeah, I hate that one.
Do not say tutty.
Yeah. Say TD.
TD, touchdown, anything.
Yeah,
but
TD,
where
touchdown.
Where did that come from?
I have no idea.
The tutty. Well, I don't even know what.
It had to be a player that said it or something.
Well,
and
sure.
And everybody ran with it.
Yeah. There was also a period of time, because I think they used it in Madden, where paydirt became a real popular
That's
turn
old
of phrase.
School.
Yeah, and I guess it was brought back in recent years, and now that's been overtaken by tutties, the new like cool phrase for touchdowns. Mm-hmm. I hate it.
How you feel about just using the term pitskin?
I don't mind that.
Pitskin.
I think that's like a hat tip to the. There's one. A hat tip to the old school, playing within myself, from the 713. Grand Salami.
No,
I don't like. I don't like. I never like that.
Yeah,
one.
Yeah, that one's terrible.
Oh, I hate that one.
Every sportscaster should just say no.
Just say Grand Slam.
Grand Slam.
I saw somebody say Holy Toledo. I don't know if they were saying they like that or hate. That's an old school one. I hope no one's still using that today.
Yeah.
Unless it's people in Toledo, Ohio or something
yeah,
like
that's
that.
Fair.
Oh, there's so many that I hate that are coming up now. You know how much I hate they're playing with tempo. That is my number one. That is my Sean Pendergast. You know, what was the one that at the top of his list? It wasn't
Chip. Yeah.
When people, Troy Aikman, every broadcast, they're playing with tempo now. No, they're not. They're either playing up tempo or they're playing with slow tempo. Playing with tempo is either or. You know, when they go fast, it's not playing with tempo. It's up tempo. Get the hell out of here with that. Every single time. That they say, oh, they got tempo going now. I just feel like throwing something at the TV.
You know what? I never thought about it. You convinced me. I still like the phrase, but I do agree with your point. Yeah.
No, it's not tempo. Every time you walking is tempo. Crawling mm-hmm. is tempo.
It's true.
Sprinting is up tempo. I mean, playing with tempo is not right. All broadcasters, please.
Well, that kind of lead me to the one I don't like.
Mm-hmm.
They just wanted it more.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
They just wanted them more. I hate that term,
and
man.
You know, Reggie, and I like this term, but Reggie hates momentum. He thinks momentum doesn't exist. I think it can. I think even just mentally, psychologically.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Tempo. Now you go, 110%?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think baseball is the sport more than the others that there's just so many
mm-hmm.
phrases that are specific to baseball.
Can of corn.
Yeah. A lot of the old school ones I don't really like anymore.
Yeah.
Can of corn being one of them.
Yeah. Can of corn, you know where that comes from, don't you?
Yeah, wasn't it getting it off like a top
the
shelf?
The top shelf back in the day, like back in the Babe Ruth days, they would have to, the corn was always on the very top row of the general store, and they would use this little stick to knock it down and catch it.
Yeah.
Catch it like a can of corn.
That one I know. Yeah. One of the new ones I don't like in baseball is, and I'm going to butcher it. I mean, what is it, like the sword when you get like those check swings?
Oh, yeah.
What do they call it? Mm-hmm. Swords? Or
the sword.
I don't like that.
What about people call home runs taters?
You know what? I don't use that.
I'm about to say, man, come on.
You don't
man.
Like it?
Nah, man. It's home runs, man. It's not hard to say. We ain't got to pimp out the word home run. Home run is cool. We ain't got to say no taters.
I don't use it, but I don't mind it as much as you do. That's your tempo. Any word that comes out of Chris Collinsworth's mouth. Well, that's just mean.
Yeah, I'm a Collinsworth guy.
What about Bush League? Every time something happens, that's just Bush League.
I don't mind that.
That's Bush League.
Yeah, because obviously, you know, smaller league, Bush League, whatever.
We'll end on this one from the 281. They should call a Grand Slam a Denny's special. I actually like that.
Gave him the old Denny's.
Yeah. Oh, let me sneak one more in because I do hate this. Whenever people say get in the hole in golf, I hate when someone tees off and there's always that loser who thinks he's being funny yelling, get in the hole. It's so annoying.
It might have been funny the first time they used it.
Yeah. 30 years ago. Yeah. Stop doing it.
Yes.
Or even the Baba Booey from the Howard Stern. Stop with those.
Oh, yeah.
It's not funny anymore. So annoying. Hey, keep texting those in. What are your favorite and least favorite unique sports terms? 713-572-4610. We'll continue to update that as we go. But when we come back, it's time to go around the NFL. It's in the loop.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Hey, everyone. Summer is just around the corner, and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high-quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic salad kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.